to see Kopech last year. I felt like people who showed up at the ballpark Friday night came to see the White Sox.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've always said this before, though. As much time has been spent, and I can't count the hours talking about White Sox attendance and all that and how fickle and finicky White Sox fans are.
Very.
I think especially for where you live, it's an easy lift because of the quality of game experience. I think their threshold should be lower because you know you're going to eat great and drink great and be comfortable. Right?
I mean,
So it shouldn't really be that big a deal. You want to go to a game?
A baseball game. Right. We'll go.
Yeah, but I had also already been to two games last week.
That's true.
And it felt right. Like, it felt right on a Friday to be like, Yankees are in town. White Sox have a chance to be 500. Hell yeah. I'm gonna buy some good tickets and I'm gonna hang out. And there were a lot of people like in the industry there. Like I was sitting behind Chris Emma.
A titan of the industry.
I was totally like heckling him too. And he didn't know it was me. Like he stood up and I was like, sit down, Emma. And he was like, what the hell is going on here? Tanny was there. I think Spiegs was there. So there were a lot of people that just kind of enjoyed it. And it was just nice. Like that's the thing that I think that we as a fan base don't get. Like we don't get nice things and we haven't had nice things other than our nice ballpark and the great food at our nice ballpark. The thing on the field hasn't been very nice. And it got to be nice for one night. We all got to go, man, hey, how you been, man? I haven't seen you in forever. Our team is actually okay. Isn't this great? Yes, it is. Let's enjoy this.
It's like the middle of Major League.
You're right.
That's what it is. It's the middle of Major League.
Maybe these guys don't suck too bad.
Maybe they don't.
So far, so good. So, gentlemen, thank you as always. I appreciate the conversation. That is Bernstein and McKnight. You can check them out every day, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSER and HD Chicago, WBMX and HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as number 17 Northwestern hosts Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are on sale now in usports.com. And this hour is being brought to you by Burris Equipment. Visit them at burrisequipment.com for details. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
That was the type of win that gets fan bases excited. Really good team, nice night, good crowd, coming back, your young guys leading the way in the comeback, and you win? Man, I don't know if you can tell by the sound of my voice. You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Well, maybe we need a new song for this group. But yes, that's how I feel.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a fun show ready for you today. Ryan McGuffey of the White Sox Talk podcast is going to join me at 12:25. Bruce Levine is going to join me at 1 o'clock. I want to run some Cubs stuff by Bruce, especially when it comes to the bullpen. We've got a lot to do today, including I'll tell you about my experience at the Eddie Jackson charity softball game. Oh, man, that was a lot of fun. I actually did put it up. If you follow me on Instagram, I don't know if you do, at Lawrence W. Holmes, you can see the video that I put up of Khalil Mack trying to hit a softball. I wasn't going to tell him that he struck out because that's a bad man. But
he plays other sports like he's a football player.
Well, he plays basketball like he's a really good basketball player, but baseball is a particular set of skills, Tony, and I'm shocked. I'm not as shocked as I used to be by other athletes not being able to quite get that game right. It is, it's not always fun for people, but it was fun and funny out there in Schaumburg and everyone who came out and said nice things. I appreciate it. It was fun. That Boomers ballpark is actually pretty dope. I enjoyed my time out there. So anyway, I'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But we want to start the show as we start all things with a rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
Yeah, it's the Rundown for Monday, June 17th. You know, there was a big trade over the weekend. It will be consummated on July 6th. There's a big trade where Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, they're going to go play for the Pelicans.
I thought you were talking about the Hawks trade.
Well, we're going to get to the Hawks, but first we got to get to your guy, Tony. We got to get to your guy, LaVar Ball, talking about how everyone is going at the Lakers is going to regret the day that they dare trade his beloved son.
They're going to regret it. I'm going to have fun with it. Because I told y'all it was crashing down. Now it completely crashed, but at least my son got off the boat before the thing exploded. I gave him a chance. You can rewind it and go back. And I said, if you get the three Ball brothers, you're going to survive this. You let him go, boy, it's going to be a cold day in hell.
Okay, I'm sure that the Lakers as a franchise are really happy that they are done with LaVar Ball because, and I got to tell you, we'll discuss it a little bit later on because we're going to do a little NBA Bulls roundtable at 12:40 today. I'm so happy that as it stands right now, the Bulls didn't trade for Lonzo Ball. I'm so happy that that is the case because I didn't want to have to do LaVar Ball shows. And I'm sure that you didn't want to hear LaVar Ball show.
Oh, I was going to book him.
I'm sure you and him would probably become fast friends, Tony. But I wanted no part of this. So I'm very happy that Lonzo, I actually think that things are going to work out better for him down there.
You sure he's staying there?
This is my concern, Campy. My concern is that it's still possible that he ends up a Bull. That's my concern. But if he does stay there, I actually think that they have a nice little nucleus of players. And if they wanted to, they could have a nice defensive backcourt down there. So we'll see. We'll see. But as it stands right now, it doesn't look like he's coming to Chicago. Hallelujah. Amen to that. There was another trade. This trade was closer to home. Let's do that hockey. And let's hear Stan Bowman with Mully and Haw talking about Olli Maatta.
He didn't really have an offensive role on their team, but he does have the ability to move the puck, transition it to the forwards, and so it's not like he's not skilled, but his primary skill is taking care of the defensive end, and that's something that we think we can get better at, and he's going to help us do that.
Let's do that hockey.
Yeah, I feel like the Blackhawks have needed an infusion of youth and athleticism on defense for a while. We will see if Olli Maatta is going to give them that when the season gets underway. But I think it's a positive step in the right direction for the Blackhawks. Let's move to baseball. Let's go to the White Sox first, Tony. We could just go to them real quick because things got out of hand early. But there was a positive, and that positive was the fact that James McCann is still out here trying to get your all-star vote.
McCann left side, backs through, it's a base hit. Garcia's on his way home, he's going to score easily, and it's 7-2. And Dad, on Father's Day, gives him a gift deep to left field. James McCann, happy Father's Day.
That's right, happy Father's Day to James McCann, especially considering the troubles that he had growing up and some of the issues that he and his wife had when it came to children. So happy Father's Day to him, and I hope that he gets to the All-Star game because I feel like he is very, very deserving. The White Sox lost that game 10-3. The last two games of the series were very ugly for the South Side 9 after getting to 500 on Friday. So they go into the series with the Cubs starting tomorrow here on The Score at 34-36. Speaking of the Cubs, this road trip was an absolute problem for the Cubs, whether it was Denver or what was going on in LA. We go to game 4 of Cubs versus Dodgers, where the Dodgers got themselves a lead early.
And the pitch.
Muncy takes outside ball four. That forces in a run.
Quintana really struggled with his command early on. His command and his location were off. He did settle down enough that it gave the Cubs a fighting chance. But then, like, the MVP dude is up. The guy that has a chance to be a 14.5 war, Cody Bellinger.
Quintana at 94 pitches. Here's a fly ball, deep right center. Back goes Almora to the fence. Home run. Cody Bellinger with a home run just to the right of straightaway center. And the ball game is tied at two.
Yeah, and you're sitting there wondering, okay, is this one of those games where the Cubs get themselves some heroics? And I know that there are a lot of Cubs fans that have tired of the flexibility of the Cubs lineup, that they have guys that can play multiple positions, and they end up playing multiple positions, like Chris Bryant playing left field yesterday, and then it coming down to the eighth inning and a Russell Martin single with a throw at the plate from Chris Bryant.
Swinging a line drive, base hit, left field. Taylor is going to try to score. The throw by Bryant. There's a play at the plate. The throw gets by the catcher, and scoring is Taylor. And the Dodgers lead 3-2.
And that's how the game would end. The Cubs end the road trip 2-5 between Colorado and L.A. They lose 3-2 to the Dodgers, dropping their record down to 39-32. Here's what Joe Maddon had to say about the matchup between the two squads.
No, we played. I mean, that's a great game, but I think it reemphasizes how equal both teams are. I really do. Great game. They caught a line drive. We lose. They get a blooper lens in front of our left fielder. They win. That was the difference in the game. After we got the lead and Q came up and they go boom, boom, boom. That was tough, but Kinsler got it in order. And then Collins' big ground ball out. I mean, all that stuff was in order. And then at the end of the game, we got second and third and two outs and Javi good at bat. So that's the way it happens sometimes.
Joe seems to think that his team matches up with the Dodgers. And if I can, I'd just like to spend a couple minutes talking about that. That concludes the rundown for Monday, June 17th. Some of the things that we're going to be talking about throughout the show. As I mentioned, Ryan McGuffey of the White Sox Talk podcast is going to join me in the next segment. There is a White Sox thing that I do want to get to, and I'll get to that momentarily. But all weekend long, I was wondering about the Cubs. And look, so do you understand where I'm coming from? To me, regular season baseball, it matters in the scheme of winning your division. I don't know if it matters as far as what you think of a team's particular matchup. We see time and time again a team, we won the season series from this team, and then they lose a playoff series to said team. I do think it was interesting, and ESPN played a little bit with this. They had the funny graphic of, I think it was the cartoons of Baez and Bryant sitting on top of the mountain, and then Kershaw and Bellinger kind of acting as if they were trying to climb up, even though they're the team that wins the National League over the last couple of years. I do wonder, like, going into this, whether or not you looked at a series with the Dodgers in June on the road as a measuring stick. I wonder if in their heart, and I know that before this series started, that there was some talk of, well, we'll get to see how good we are. Joe made some points, and we'll talk with him about it tomorrow at noon, that he felt like his team and the Dodgers are fairly evenly matched, and that it was a play here or a play there that was the difference between the Cubs coming back on this road trip 4-3 versus them coming back 2-5 as they did, or as they will. They probably back now. They got the day off, and then they'll take on the White Sox tomorrow on the South Side. Speaking of which, I'm going to be broadcasting from Gallagher Way tomorrow. I don't expect that you'll be out there that early for a nighttime game. But if you're on lunch and you work over by Wrigley and you want to see us do our thing, then I will be out there. It'll be good. We're doing a broadcast tomorrow and Wednesday from 9 until 7:05. So we're going to walk you all the way up to first pitch with us being out and about for the Wintrust Crosstown broadcast. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. So let me get back to the White Sox. It's just something that was on my mind, whether or not you look at the Dodgers, and you can just text in your thoughts on it at 670-11 if you wish. Are the Dodgers the measuring stick for the Cubs, or are the Cubs on their own island and really it's just about them being their best version and it doesn't matter with any of this stuff in the regular season? That's kind of where I'm probably closer to that part of the spectrum than the other part. I think that it doesn't matter that much. I did want to share this too with you. I heard some funny stuff on Saturday from Matt Spiegel that I wanted to get your attention on, because I had this exact same experience. It's so weird. I was laughing in my car listening to Spiegs along with Steve Rosenblum discussing going to the White Sox game on Friday night. So Spiegs was there, Tanny was there, I was there. We were all sitting in different places, but we were all there. And I laughed so hard when he told this story, because he wasn't the first person that I heard something like this happen to. Check this out.
There were a lot of people there, and this is not something that a lot of Sox fans are used to. And
good sections were not available.
This was voiced to me by some serious White Sox fans.
Is this going to be like the Blackhawk fans when they got good?
It was a lot more fun when nobody was here. Was voiced to me Seriously? By several people last night. 100%. You know, I got to tell you, I kind of liked when it was a little more empty. It was just my own little personal space here. That's pathetic.
That's the influx of Yankee fans, the way the Detroit Red Wings fans used to come to United
Center. Or how about White Sox fans or Chicago baseball fans who are going to see a team that's all of a sudden kind of interesting?
The Giolito bandwagon jumpers.
Right. How dare they? Get out of my ballpark.
People actually said this out loud.
Yes. The guy I was sitting with. I won't mention his name.
No, mention his name.
No, I won't. He was very kind. He was a very good man. And actually, he gave me, hooked me and the wife up with a couple of ticks. And we sat with him and his wife and had a wonderful, wonderful evening until it started to rain. But he said, you know, I kind of miss when it was just my own little personal space and I could just relax. And I said, oh, that's pathetic, sir. And he laughed because he knows it's pathetic.
He's not lying. There are a lot of White Sox fans who feel that way. It's so White Sox of us. Like, oh, yeah, you should come down. It's a great time. The ballpark gets a little bit full. We're like, damn, I can't move around here. And these concession lines are a little bit long. I heard the same thing from people. And me and Speeds weren't sitting together. Okay? I heard a guy, the guys were complaining, oh, the seats are 19 inches and da da da. I'm like, wow, that is... I laugh at it just because it's so us. It's how we roll, and it's unfortunate that that's how we roll, but it's exactly how we roll. This segment being brought to you by True Green. Ready for a mosquito-free summer, Chicago? Just call True Green. They'll eliminate biting mosquitoes in your yard within 24 hours of application, guaranteed. Call 1-866-TRUE-GREEN or visit truegreen.com/mosquito-free-summer. Additional restrictions may apply. See truegreen.com for details. We are unbelievable. We really are as a fan base. We are unbelievable. I'm going to talk with one of the guys that feels that way. I don't know if Ryan McGuffey feels that way, but he hosts the White Sox Talk podcast, and he spent a ton of time with their prospects, and I'm looking forward to getting his thoughts on what they do now that Zach Collins is being called up. So we're going to talk a little bit of White Sox. We're going to throw in an NBA roundtable. All of that, along with a little Cubs conversation, is in our view until 1 o'clock. We got a lot of stuff that we're going to try to get done, and we're going to try to do it in a fun and exciting way. We appreciate you listening. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Theo Epstein.
I wonder if there was a whole lot of contact prior to the season with Kimbrel.
A little bit different dynamic this winter. Kimbrel wasn't attainable for us. Once a couple things changed on our end and his market started to come into an area that was more realistic for us, it became just clear. It was such a unique opportunity.
Listen to Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. The Los Angeles Lakers are relevant again, finally. 2 days after one NBA season ended, another began when the Lakers and New Orleans Pelicans pulled off a blockbuster deal that should